Morning, everyone. Can you do it louder? Perfect. Okay. Welcome, everyone, this morning. We have got an interesting morning ahead of us. I do have a few notices. A reminder for everyone on Church Council that we have a meeting on Tuesday. Oh, I've forgotten the... I've left it over there. Doesn't matter. Gift aid. Last week we mentioned that the gift aid on donations had now reached its maximum. So one thing that you can do, if you already give regularly to the church by standing order and you get coffees and teas, if you want to add a little bit extra to that donation and not hand cash over or use the machine, that will benefit the church. Because it's a very easy way for us to claim gift aid. So have a think about that one, please. We've got some new information from the food bank at Macclesfield of the things that they need, and I've left it at the back of the church. But they've sent... No, because I haven't got my glasses. So. But basically, they're just revising. There's a new list of things that they need and what they do, and most of all, they're saying thank you to us for continuing to give regularly. I'm planning to go on Friday and take the donations we've got so far, so if anybody adds anything in the week, it will go on Friday morning, maybe Thursday evening, but Friday morning at the latest. And finally, if you do have any words or songs or a prayer that you want to use in our service next week about families, let me know, because I need to get information to Rob by Tuesday, Wednesday. Thank you. And we welcome Roz and in due course, Susan.
Thank you, Judy. And welcome to this service on the third Sunday in Lent. As Judy said, Susan will be leading us in a lot of our worship this morning, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. But first of all, as we like to celebrate with anybody who has something that we can celebrate, today, two of our members, it is today their 68th wedding anniversary. So... And you very kindly clapped before I said who it was, so we can clap again in a moment. So that's Arnold and Lorna. Would you like to stand up? And we can... Congratulations. Are you doing something special today? No more special than usual. That sounds great, doesn't it? Good. Well, as I said, this morning, Susan is going to tell us about her first-hand experience through herself and her family of the church in India. We sometimes can be very focused locally, can't we? Even locally just to our own church, never mind our community, never mind the nation, never mind the world. So this will be really good that we can focus and hear firsthand about the church in India. So Susan will talk particularly about the Kirk in Chennai, which is the church that Susan's aunt and uncle attend. And as we worship here later in the service, we will include prayers that the pastor, Isaac, has sent for us so that we can hold the congregation and their work before God. And during their morning service, the congregation at the Kirk will hold us before God and use prayers that I've sent to them. So, albeit in different time zones, we worship this morning in unity with our sisters and brothers in Chennai and indeed right across the world. Our call to worship. Lord, we do not come as guests, but as members of your family. We do not come in fear, but with joy and thanksgiving. We do not come alone, but with all your people of every age and in every place. Lord, we come as your family, for you are our Heavenly Father, and Christ is our brother, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. And as we come to worship this morning, we hold ourselves and the whole of the world before God. And as we do this, we know from our television screens, from our news items, from our newspapers, that this world has many, many people in it who are refugees and asylum seekers. This morning, as we sit here in the relative comfort of this church, there are people on boats. There are people in refugee camps. There are people desperately trying to make their way to those refugee camps. And as we will all have heard, the government has proposed an illegal migration bill. And we have heard many different opinions about that over these last few days, and you will hold your own opinions too. The Methodist Church has put out a statement, which is the official statement of the Methodist Church on this issue of the illegal migration bill. So this is the official position of the church to which we belong. Church leaders from the Methodist Church, the United Reformed Church, and the Baptist Union have signed the following joint statement expressing opposition to the government's new illegal migration bill. We are appalled by the proposals in the government's illegal migration bill to detain, punish, and reject thousands of people seeking safety. They are completely incompatible with our Christian conviction that all human beings are made in the image of God and are therefore inherently worthy of treatment which honours their dignity. Instead of dignity, these plans will foster discrimination and distrust and cause immeasurable harm to people already made vulnerable by conflict and persecution. If ever there was a contemporary example of ignoring our neighbour and walking by on the other side, this is it. When 2 in 3 people who cross the Channel to seek sanctuary in the UK are granted asylum following rigorous checks, it seems unthinkable to reject them before they have even had a chance to have their claim for asylum heard. Many people fleeing war and persecution in countries such as Iraq, Iran, Syria, Eritrea, and Sudan have been left with no safe and accessible routes to claim asylum in the UK, forcing people to make difficult and dangerous decisions. The UK falls far behind our global neighbours in welcoming people seeking sanctuary into our communities. And yet these plans essentially put a ban on claiming asylum and reject the UK's responsibility to play our part in responding to global inequalities and conflict. We all agree that we cannot continue to see thousands of people risk their lives to reach safety in the UK. But the solution cannot be deterrence and punishment. As Christians, we believe that we should be amongst the first to welcome the stranger with open arms. We urge the government to withdraw this legislation, to honour our moral and international obligations, and to behave with compassion and fairness by establishing safe and accessible routes to enable the UK to play its part in welcoming people in need of safety. And that's signed by Reverend Fiona Bennett, General Assembly Moderator of the United Reformed Church, Reverend Lynn Green, General Secretary of the Baptist Union, Reverend Graham Thompson, President of the Methodist Conference, and Anthony Boateng, Vice President of the Methodist Conference. So let us pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning. We come to bring you our worship. We come to hear your word to us. We come in a world that is full of pain and suffering and fear. We pray, Lord, that you will be with those who this day will risk their lives to try to find a better life, to try to find safety in another country. We pray for those who will try that, to try to come to this country. We pray that you will give them safe passage and a welcome and compassion when they arrive. We pray, Lord, for the government and parliament and for those who need to seek a way forward in this situation so that people are not risking their lives in this terrible way. We pray, Lord, that you will encourage and strengthen those who speak for peace and compassion in this situation. And if there's anything that we can do to play our part, however small, however large, we pray, Lord, that you will guide us and strengthen us in it. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, continuing to think on the scale of the world, we sing our first hymn together, Let All the World. We come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we remember in this season of Lent the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, the pressures he faced, the choices he had to make, the evil he had to resist, the path he chose. We remember that though he was tempted as we are, he did not give way. Though he could have used his powers for his own ends, he used them instead for us. Though he could have taken the easy way, he took the hard. Loving God, forgive us that our testimony is all too often so different. We have failed you in so much, refusing to take up our cross and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We have not obeyed your commandments, or loved you as you have loved us, or in a way lived faithfully as your people. We have been narrow in our commitment, narrow in our vision, careless in our worship, self-centered in our attitudes, repeatedly preferring our way to yours and wandering far from you. Loving God, have mercy upon us. Renew us in heart and mind and spirit, Strengthen our wills and deepen our faith, and send us out once more as your people, forgiven and restored, to live and work and speak for you. In the name of Christ. Amen. And a blessing over the offering. Loving and generous God, we thank you for the many ways that you bless us day by day. We thank you for this opportunity to bring these gifts, these monetary gifts, this morning and by bank transfer. And with those, we bring you our lives as a living sacrifice. We pray, Lord, that you will use all to further your kingdom in this place. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you want to introduce the film, Susan? Would you like to? Okay. We're going to begin by watching a film together that talks of how Christianity first came to India.
When I say religion in India, Christianity is not the first religion that comes to mind, is it? It's probably not even the second. Only 2.5% of India is Christian. But then, it did come in fairly recently. Or did it? When exactly do you think Christianity came to India? And who brought the religion here? We are at the Santo Basilica in Chennai. And this church connects many dots regarding the arrival of Christianity to India. Here's the story.
Let's go back in time by about 2000 years to Jerusalem. It is believed that Jesus Christ was crucified there in 33 CE. And soon after that, the remaining 11 apostles, his closest disciples, picked lots to decide where they would go to spread the word of Christ. One of these apostles was St. Thomas, and he picked India. Now his journey was a long one, through the Mediterranean Sea, via the Red Sea, and into the Arabian Sea. Some say he came via Afghanistan. Finally, he reached the shores of Kerala in western India. There he went around speaking to people about the message of Christ. They say his talks were very popular and people flocked to listen to him. And not long after that, the first churches were established in Kerala. Now, when I say a church in this context, I don't mean a grand structure. I mean a group of people who accepted that Christ was indeed the Messiah. This early group of Christians still exist in India, and they are called the Thomist Christians. They took to Christianity somewhere between 52 CE and 76 CE. That is how old Christianity is in India. Did you know that this makes India one of the first countries where Christianity took root? Just to put that in perspective, do you know the name of the first European country to adopt Christianity as its state religion? It was Armenia, and it did so in 301 CE, a good 250 years after Christianity came to India. The Thomist Christians of Kerala are one among the earliest practicing Christians in the world today.
A few years after landing in Kerala, it is said that St. Thomas walked across the peninsula and reached the shores of Mylapore in present-day Chennai. He lived in a place that is today called Little Mount. Every day, he would walk down to the beach a few kilometers away to meet people and talk about Christ. Here too, his talks were extremely popular, and it is said that the king of the land used to come and listen to St. Thomas. All that popularity earned St. Thomas some enemies. One day when he was praying at Little Mount, he was attacked. Story goes that the fleeing Thomas met his end on a hillock nearby, that is today called St. Thomas Mount. His body was brought down to the beach where he used to preach every day and was buried there. For the next 1400 years, most people forgot about St. Thomas. But every once in a while, small groups of Christians from Persia, Armenia and other Middle Eastern lands, largely Nestorian Christians, would come to Chennai and revive memories of Thomas the Apostle.
How much of this story is accurate? We don't really know. When talking about an incident that happened so long ago, it's very difficult to draw a line between history, myth, and faith, all of which tend to get beautifully intertwined. But we can be more certain of all that happened since the 1500s when the Portuguese first came to Chennai for trade. They were familiar with the legend of St. Thomas. The Armenian merchants in Chennai led them to his grave, and there the Portuguese built a small Portuguese-style church over the tomb of St. Thomas. In the 1600s, the British got to Chennai and soon ended up controlling the entire coastline. In the 1890s, they decided to rebuild the Portuguese church in their own style. And that is how we got this beautiful neo-Gothic cathedral, which we know today as the Santo Basilica.
The Santo Basilica may not be the biggest church you will see, but it is a very significant church. You see, after the Portuguese discovered the tomb of St. Thomas, several attempts were made to take his remains to Europe. They were first taken to Edessa in Iraq, then to Chios in Greece, and finally to Ortona in Italy. St. Thomas is celebrated in all these places. But Chennai has the honor of having a basilica built over the tomb of St. Thomas. Did you know that there are only 3 churches in the world that are built over the remains of an apostle of Jesus Christ? St. Peter's in the Vatican, St. James in Spain, and St. Thomas in Chennai. That makes it a very, very special church.
And that is the story of the arrival of Christianity in India. Isn't it amazing that Christianity has been in India almost since its inception? That makes it a much older religion in India than almost all of Europe, at least 250 years older. Did you like the story?
Well, when we say St. Thomas, what do you think of? Which Bible stories do you think of? Doubting Thomas, that's right, doubting Thomas. Any others? Any other times when we hear about Thomas in the Bible? That's right, in John 14, it's when Jesus is telling the disciples that he has to go. And he says, you know where I am going, and you know the way to get there. And this Thomas says, well, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know how to get there? Those are the two, probably the most well-known of those passages. Well, Thomas is always mentioned in the lists and the groups of apostles. He's always there. He's part of that inner circle. But those are two of the most well-known examples. So what sort of character do you think Thomas might have had? We've got doubting Thomas and Thomas saying he doesn't know the way. Cautious, yeah.
A questioning mind, not accepting but asking.
A questioning mind, not accepting things but asking, yeah. Any others?
Straightforward and honest.
Okay, thank you. Well, Alison is going to read a passage of scripture for us now. And as you listen to it, listen out for when Thomas is mentioned and listen out for what he says and does.
A reading from John. Chapter 11, verses 1 to 16. The death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, A short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night when they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Amen.
Thank you, Alison. How many people have heard that reading before? Yeah, well-known reading, isn't it? How many people had noticed Thomas in that reading before? One or two, well done. I must admit, I hadn't noticed that. And it just made me think, really, what was his character like? We've said some of the things about his character earlier. What was his character like in that passage? When the other disciples are telling Jesus, "No, don't go, because terrible things are going to happen." And Thomas says, "Let's go with him and die with him." What does that tell us about Thomas's character?
Courage.
So, loyalty. Concern. A true believer. Very different view of his character, maybe, from the doubting Thomas one that we all know so well. So it made me think how interesting it is that we can be really familiar with a passage and an interpretation or a stereotype, that we don't always hear other things or we zone out things that are contrary to a fixed view that we've already formed. And it made me wonder, how often do we do this in biblical interpretation, in theology, within our church life, and within our life outside of these four walls? When we look at the world around us, how often do we have fixed views and we don't hear or see contrary ones? Anyway, I'll hand over to Susan.
It's lovely to be with you here today and to share parts of my sort of faith with all of you here today. We're going to be looking at churches of South India, in particular Kerala, which is on the west, southwest of India, which is where my parents are originally from, and also Chennai, which Roz has mentioned. Chennai is where a lot of Keralites, which is predominantly a coastal region, there's not much work, so people go to Chennai, which is a big city, for work. So it's focusing on Kerala and Chennai. We also had the opportunity to visit the St. Thomas Cathedral Basilica in Chennai, which where you saw the video from, and it's a really interesting cathedral. It was built in the 16th century and rebuilt in 1893 by the British in neo-Gothic style, and it attracts pilgrims each year for the reasons that we saw that link to St. Thomas. It also has the Mother Mary, which was brought from Portugal. And just moving on to looking inside the church. So this is a picture of us inside the church. There are lots of interesting stained glass windows, and one in particular of St. Thomas touching the wound of Jesus Christ. Christmas and Easter is celebrated each year in that church. and the third day of the month is dedicated to St. Thomas. As you saw in the video, so just wanting to kind of obviously to kind of repeat a little bit of information that, you know, it's a quite a unique church. It's only one of three churches that is built over a tomb of an apostle. So we have the Santiago de Compostela in Spain, which is built over the tomb of St. James, and St. Peter's Basilica in Rome over the tomb of St. Peter. So, as Ros mentioned, St. Thomas was also known as Doubting Thomas. He famously doubted the resurrection of Jesus and told the other disciples, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus then appeared and offered to let him do just that. After seeing Jesus in the flesh, in his own eyes, Thomas proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus responded, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So again, this is in the St. Thomas Basilica, just showing you that how he met his death. So he died in 72 AD on the 3rd of July. He was killed by a spear in St. Thomas Mount in Chennai, which is a little distance from where this basilica is. So that's just a little bit about the St. Thomas Basilica that we visited, and also moving on to the Marthoma Church. So the Marthoma Church is a church where my parents have attended, and by, you know, doing this little presentation, it was great to do a little bit more research into the church that my parents attended. So it's known as a Syrian Christian church based in Kerala, and it has about 1.6 million followers that are called Marthamites. And Kerala is on the coast, and it had the trade connections with the Middle East back in the day. And its members, the Syrian Christians, are part of the St. Thomas Christian community, which originated from the apostle. So it's kind of led by bishops, which you can see in the picture, and it defines itself as apostolic in origin, universal in nature, biblical in faith, evangelical in principle, ecumenical in outlook, oriental in worship, and democratic in function, and episcopal in character. So, yeah, so this is also the Marthoma Church in a small town, Kerala, which is originally where my parents are from. And this church is the Syrian Christians of this particular area. They worshipped at a different church, and it was one of seven that was established by St. Thomas. It was originally built as a cathedral church in 1815 AD, and it was burnt down, and it was then rebuilt. The parishes brought in a petition, and they made a colonel, who was a British resident, collect the money to then rebuild this church. So half of the money that they collected from that petition, they rebuilt this church, and it's now its present day form. So there are services conducted in English and in our local language, which is Malayalam, and The English service is only once a month, and the services are quite early there, and they're much longer services. So it starts, for example, the English service starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the local language service starts even at 8 o'clock in the morning. So the services are quite long. So we're now moving on to the third church. This is one of the churches where my relatives worship, St. Andrew's Church, which is also known as the Kirk. So it was built in 1821, and it's a Presbyterian church. And I have my aunt, who's sort of on my dad's side, and my uncle on my mum's side, who worship there. And it was sort of popularly known as the Kirk, and the Scottish community of the East Indian Company wanted a place to worship, so they built this as their place of worship. It currently served by ministers from the Church of Scotland, and the current minister is Reverend Isaac Johnson, who we've been in touch with to put forward. He has put forward prayers that we can pray on behalf of them. So services again are conducted in English and also in Hindi. And apparently there's also a short presentation in Tamil, which is for kind of drivers that drive the worshippers to church. So it celebrated 200 years in service in 2021. And its kind of steeple is the kind of tallest in Chennai. The stunning blue dome within the church is dotted with stars, and it transports worshippers to what many say reflects Scotland's azure sky and the canopy of heaven. So this church supports many outreach projects, including village projects, those that are differently abled, and also supports projects within hospitals. Okay, so just a little bit about Lent in South India. So there are midweek services during Lent. There's quite a cosmopolitan congregation. There's a characters around the cross study, which is studying those that were involved in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And many Christians eat vegetarian. They give up meat during Lent. So that's just a little bit of what happens during Lent there. And so just to finish with a little picture of traditional food that we eat in South India. So it's a curry and a kind of rice flour pancake, called appam, which we eat in South India on Easter Sunday. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And as we think about the disciples drawing lots, we heard, of where they would go to spread the news, to bring disciples to Jesus. We think of St. Thomas on that long trek. We think of those who have brought the Christian faith from that small place in Jerusalem to a worldwide. And we think of ourselves as disciples of Christ today. And we reflect on those things and the things that Susan has told us as we sing together. Have you heard God's voice? And now we have some activities for you to do. I think you can probably multitask and do both at the same time if you wish to. I think Susan's going to come and speak about the Worley art, and then I'm going to give you some discussion questions.
So we're trying to come up with an activity that... Oh, sorry. Okay, yes. So the activity we would love you to kind of participate in is Wylie painting. So it's a tribal art which comes from Maharashtra. And this is kind of the state where Rohit is from. So it's traditionally used to kind of... It's painting using a mixture of ground rice and water, traditionally, and it's put onto the mud walls of buildings, and it describes myths and festivals, and we would love to see your Vali art in particular of illustrating Easter and Lent. So even though some people might be afraid of drawing, it's not very difficult. So here are some basic marks used in Vali paintings. So it's also shown on your handout, on your table, some of the basic marks used in Vali paintings. So circles, square, inverted triangles, for example, showing you also how to depict a person, dog, a house, and a tree. And we would love you to draw a picture with the pencils, using colours, using Vali style that illustrates what's important about Lent or Easter for you. Okay? And for those that would like a discussion activity, Roz will explain that.
Yeah, so you may want to, at the same time or separately, think about some questions on your table as well. So what do the three biblical accounts of Thomas that we've heard about? We've heard about doubting Thomas, we've heard about I don't know the way Thomas, and we've heard about let's go with him to Jerusalem and die with him, Thomas. So the question is, which of these accounts mean anything to you? Do you identify more with one of those Thomases? And if so, why? And what may we learn from the life of St. Thomas? So those will stay up on the screen. So if you want to talk about those while you're drawing, or concentrate on drawing, or just talk, that's fine. If we have some Worley art at the end that people don't mind, we'd be good to display it as our impressions of... Don't laugh. It'd be brilliant. I'm expecting brilliance. You don't have to sign it, no. But when it comes up in auction at Sotheby's, you'll wish you had. So we have quarter of an hour, till about 25 to, for discussion and art. Join us, John. Got a bit of space if you want to come and join us. Thank you. Go on. Yeah, it's a bit worrying that, isn't it? Sometimes it says Thomas, known as Didymus, and then obviously there must have been more than one person called Thomas. So
do you think Didymus is the same without Thomas?
Well, there's never two Thomases mentioned in the lists, is there? So, because sometimes if two people have the same voice, same name rather, they mention something else that differentiates them, doesn't it? So I'm tending to think that they're the same person. And it does show a journey, doesn't it, really, from you know, where he is, sort of, we'll go and die with him, and then the doubting, you know, and then...
Conviction.
Obviously, they all will have had some kind of skills and yeah. Yes, yeah. Oh, right. That's interesting.
Thomas's day, the movement, that was December 21st, but then they did it to July. I don't know when they moved there. We looked into it because we wanted to celebrate the day. And on our church, there's a plaque that says December 21st was Thomas's day. When I looked it up, I Googled it.
And that's what Susan just said. Yeah. It is. But I do like that idea, because I've never noticed him in the story of Lazarus. You're really thinking about Lazarus, aren't you? And knowing he's going to be raised, and that takes... But to just that sentence, is just, I think that's going to hopefully be my first thought about Thomas. Non-canonical. Yeah. Talking about Thomas, which is fine. It's good finding out more. There we are. Leave you to draw. Otherwise, when you come up against something that's hard, you don't know why you believe what you believe, do you? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And reading what's in front of you in the Bible, as opposed to zipping your head forwards into what you know is going to happen, because then you see things that, like that line that you don't see otherwise.
a question.
Okay.
Find out and to listen to alternatives and then eventually learn.
So that's what we can learn from Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah, so good, yeah.
I mean, grow with faith, yeah. Over the years, as children, the doubting Thomas was the one that was always mentioned. Until this, as you said,
yeah.
I wasn't aware of his input.
No?
Just really
Yeah, and that he was always there in the lists, he's always there with them. Yeah, interesting. Yes, I like the drawings, brilliant. Drawing to Lorna, that's fine, that's good.
AD is after Anno Domini, after died,
yes.
And C of E is common era for people who don't want to measure time by when Jesus died, I think. So
common era.
Common era is what C of E is, yes.
It's woke, Judy.
It's woke. It's quite old woke, that one, but it is. Common era. That would be a nice one, yes. Common era, though. Okay.
Oh, that's a shame.
I thought it was in the notices. It's certainly on the plan. It's always the second Sunday. Okay, well, it's always. I'm talking about our faith. We're talking some really deep questions about faith over there. Okay, that's fine. I'll just check the notice because I thought it said cafe, but maybe it didn't. No, it did say that there would be that it would be different, but it didn't say cafe. But it's the second Sunday is always cafe. Apart from, just listen, because you might miss Easter Day because Scott is on that. Well, Easter Day is the second, but it's not cafe.
Drawing.
Brilliant.
Check our
home.
Is it just proof that I can't do a stick man?
Well, you're doing a triangle man, so that's okay. Good. And a triangular angel, yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Brilliant. Are we drawing? Are we talking? Oh, right.
Yes. We've got Easter Sunday.
Brilliant.
I say we have. I mean, we've just taken.
You've encouraged others, yeah.
Yes, well, that's good. That's good. Oh, we could maybe have a new banner in Worley style.
Oh, we're having a new banner.
Oh, right. Sorry?
You don't know about
No, I don't know. You have
to.
Oh, okay. For Holy Week. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. She may have mentioned that, actually, now, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Hello.
We all feel we should, like Thomas, you know, the times you can feel quite certain with your faith, like, let's go with him to die. Because a lot of the time, it's doubting, you know, unless we see or unless we feel.
That's it, yeah.
What are we doing? How easily you can get swept up in enthusiasm, but then reality.
Yeah.
Hello, yes. Hello.
Didymus, yes.
Most of them. But no, it was good to have those. Because immediately you just think down to Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just, well, it depends if that one works with this,
okay,
near this one. Oops. Depends if John's put them off. Okay. Okay, okay, so that's right. No, there isn't, though. That's her choices, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 You know, that when she said she wanted a banana, she wanted a couple of bananas, not three.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, then what have I done?
Yeah, that's great. Well, let me see. What have you done?
What have I done?
Oh, is it the devil? Is it the devil tempting Jesus?
It is.
There we are, you see. Yeah. Oh, Mary at the tomb. Brilliant. Oh, and Hulk carrying your cross. Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I'm very glad you worked mine.
Yeah, excellent.
Susan didn't even get your
No, I think they're great. Yeah, they're really good. Actually, we could have them all put out on one table during coffee, couldn't we? Or leave them out, people could walk around and look. Yes.
Oh, there's
no coffee at the end. Oh, I thought we always had coffee at the end. Oh, dear. Oh, that's a long time since I've done one. Oh, I thought we had coffee at the end.
Okay.
Just wondering, I might just use this. We don't usually use this one. I know the dog's not here, but this one upsets the dog. That's why we don't usually use that one. Oh, it is working. Maybe it is working. I'll put this one off. Okay. There's still a few moments, there we are, got it sorted. Oops. There's still a few moments to finish off this activity, but while you're doing that, I'll come around and see if anybody, I know there's been lots of discussions as well as lots of... So I'll come round and ask people if there's anything that you would like to say. And then at the end of the service, if people want to leave their artwork out, we can walk around and have a look. There's some really brilliant. If you don't want to, that's fine. Any that are left, we will try and put up on the board. But some really, really good interpretations of Lent and Easter using Warley's style. Is there anybody who'd like to say anything about their discussions about Thomas? Sorry?
No.
Were you going to say something, Roger?
Well, I can. I personally would say I identify with Thomas in all three situations. And I think that's possibly common with most of us in our Christian life. Sometimes we're more certain than others. And sometimes, you know, we're prepared to go on, other times we aren't. So I don't know if anybody wants to add anything.
Thank you. So we can identify the different sort of
images of Thomas that we found in the Bible this morning. Margaret, would you like to say what you were saying? I'll reach over.
I think it's very good that we should question all through life, and we should listen to other people as well as speak, because by questioning, your faith grows and you learn to... and I wonder if Thomas came to the conclusion at the end of following Christ more nearly just because he questioned in the first place.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. And we found out something else about St. Thomas, because he's a patron saint, we found out over here. So would you like to tell us about that?
I just learned that the patron saint of architects was actually St. Thomas, and he was actually a builder as well. So when he was in India, the legend has it that the king of the area asked him to design and build one of the churches, but I don't know the truth in that. I actually work at a school called St. Thomas's, so that's how I knew.
Anybody else? Thank you for that extra information. Oh, thanks, Chris.
I was reflecting on the fact that Thomas elucidated two very famous statements by Jesus. The first one was when Thomas said, "We don't know the way," and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then when Jesus appeared in the upper room, Thomas questioned it, and Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe but who haven't seen," and that applies to all of us, of course.
Thank you. Yes, so from him and his activity came some really important verses and affirmations of faith. Thanks, Chris. Anybody else? Sorry? Right.
I've been tracing my family history for 30 years, and it's only today that discussing Thomas, I realise that Thomas was a family name going back four generations, and it's also a family name in my wife's family as well. So Thomas must have had a special meaning when he came to be baptised at different times in the history of the family.
Thank you for that. Anything you two would like to say? No? Very busy. Yeah, very busy. Brilliant. Thank you. Okay. So thank you for taking part in that activity. We're now going to, and you can continue drawing if you wish to, as you pray. You can do both at the same time. We're going to move into our prayers of intercession, during which we'll hear the prayers for the Kirk that we've been talking about this morning as well. So let us pray. And to the words, "In the wilderness of life today, would you respond, be present, O Lord. In the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord." Excuse me. Lord Jesus Christ, we're reminded today in this season of Lent of the time you spent in the wilderness, facing choices, wrestling with temptation, experiencing a period of testing that would shape the course of your ministry, a time which reminds us of your humanity, which tells us you were one with us, tempted just as we are. In the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord. We pray for those facing difficult and demanding choices, choices which entail pain and self-sacrifice, which mean letting go of cherished dreams, which involve facing awkward facts about themselves and others. In the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord. We pray for those wrestling with temptation, torn between conflicting desires, unsure of where they stand, uncertain about their ability to stand firm. In the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord. We pray for those experiencing a period of testing in their lives, problems they fear they cannot cope with, challenges they feel unable to rise to, questions they would rather not face. In the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord. We pray for those who feel that they have no choice but to put themselves and their families, including their children, onto small, unseaworthy dinghies today, or to climb into the back of container lorries in order to find safety. In the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, give a strength to all facing such times, a sureness of purpose and clearness of mind. Give the knowledge of your will, then courage to make right decisions and strength to see them through. In the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord. And the prayers that we've been asked for the congregation at the Kirk in Chennai. They ask us that we can focus our prayers for the persecuted to be protected and the persecutors to find the love of Jesus. They ask us to pray for all those suffering from poverty and unemployment in India. They also ask our prayers for their village projects, for the medical work, student scholarship program, vocational training scholarships, income generation program, and for ASHA, meaning hope, a project working with differently abled people, and also their Children's Development Centre. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them in this work that they're doing in the poorest villages surrounding their area. We pray that they will see fruits of their labours and know that they serve you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, in a moment, we are going to hear the Lord's Prayer, and there'll be images as well, in Malayalam, the language that is spoken in Chennai and Kerala and at the Kirk. Not in Chennai, in Kerala. It's up to you. You can say the prayer yourself in English, in your mind, as you are watching. You can let the words flow over you. You know the prayer well as you watch the images. Or if you want to join in English or any other language that you may speak, then please do that. So as we pray this prayer, we pray with all other Christians around the world that will say this prayer today. So let us pray.
സ്വന്തസ്ഥനായ ഞങ്ങളുടെ പിതാവേ, നിന്റെ നാമം വിശുദ്ധീകരിക്കപ്പെടണമേ, നിന്റെ രാജ്യം വരയണമേ, നിന്റെ ഇഷ്ടം സ്വർഗത്തിലെ പോലെ ഭൂമിയിലും ആകണമേ, ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് ആവശ്യമുള്ള ആഹാരം ഇന്ന് തരയണമേ, ഞങ്ങളുടെ കടക്കാരോടും ഞങ്ങൾ ക്ഷമിച്ചിരിക്കുന്നത് പോലെ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കടങ്ങളെ ഞങ്ങളോടും ക്ഷമിക്കണമേ, ഞങ്ങളെ പരീക്ഷയിൽ കടത്താതെ ദുഷ്ടങ്ങളിൽ നിന്ന് ഞങ്ങളെ വിടുവിക്കണമേ, രാജ്യവും ശക്തിയും മഹത്വം എന്നേക്കും നിനക്കുള്ളത്. ആമേൻ.
And so we stand to sing our final hymn this afternoon. Hear the call of the kingdom. Thomas and all of the disciples heard the call of the kingdom and followed. We are disciples, so let us hear the call of the kingdom and follow where God is calling us.
And now a prayer. Living God, we have come to you to seek your help, offer our worship and declare our faith. Now we go for you to work for your kingdom, proclaim your love, and make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go with us and grant us grace to serve you, even as through him you have served us. Amen. And let's bless each other with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And thank you to Susan for leading this service with me. Thank you, Susan.